I hear you.
That's okay, fortunately we have technology, we can hold the information up, all right, bud. So thanks for all your help.
Is that a short joke?
Yeah, no, I'm sure, so.
So your title, make sure.
One, five, three.
Thank you.
My kids, fantastic. You just never know what you get. She worshipless. Stay really loud. Keep going. Stay really loud. Keep going, don't stop. It's because of me.
Just sit there on the front.
Oh my gosh, I have brain chill. Elaine, can you sing Shirley's present for the piano?
Maybe.
I didn't bring it, I don't know what I was thinking. And I can't just play it right here.
You can't play it, my heart.
No, I don't play anything, I gotta have music. I apologize. Can you swing that one? Maybe. Sorry, maybe.
For what?
It's not in the bench. No, I don't have it in the bench, they don't have it. I like made up my own copy.
Reaching the limits of human understanding and pausing to give my weary brain a rest. He writes, in that still moment, after self had tried and failed, there came a glorious vision of God's power, and lo, my prayer was answered in that hour. I bless my intellect and give thanks for all the insights it has provided. At the same time, I accept the limits of intellectual understanding. The gifts of God, the Apostle Paul tells us, must be spiritually discerned. In prayer, I let God be God in me. I let go of intellectual understanding. I align my mind and heart with divine wisdom. I trust the infinite mind in me and allow it to guide my path. And from the Bible, those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And that's from 1 Corinthians 2:14. And now, all remain seated. Wow. Eileen leads us in. Surely the presence.
Oh, Eileen's going to make an attempt here.
Okay, push that button. Let's see what happens.
Push the button. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
opening statement. Let's all say our opening statement together. It's located inside your program.
There's only one presence and one power, active as the universe and as my life, God the good.
Now, if you'd all please stand for our welcoming song on page 153. And don't forget to greet everyone.
Is someone having a birthday today?
What?
Does someone have a birthday today?
Someone does have a birthday today. Terry.
Oh, Terry. It's Terry's birthday today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Johnny. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you all.
All right. Another technologist, sir.
Thank you all. Try to pretend I'm not a year older. It's the same age. I'm still 13.
Yo.
Yes, Joanne.
Coffee Rest Up coming up really quick. Huh? Is it 3 weeks?
Yes.
I still need someone from 7 to 12 a.m. on Saturday and 12 to 5 p.m. on Saturday. And lots of cookies. I don't care if you bake them or buy them, but I need cookies.
Okay.
Pretty soon I'll be illegal to bake them, huh?
Yeah. And coffee.
And if people buy cookies or bake them, where should they put them?
Downstairs.
Downstairs, just anywhere?
Yeah.
Any other announcement?
Yes, you have one.
Yeah, okay. And you know, before I get to that one, I want to tell everybody that I did get my email that Penny's up at St. Pete's in the hospital, and she could really use all of your prayers for the best possible outcome for her.
Penny.
You all know Penny. She was supposed to be our reader today, so right now I want to thank Tom for stepping up. I had to call him yesterday afternoon, kind of last minute. He was more than willing to do it. And what's all this about, Tom? You say Jenny needs to come on up here?
Yay!
Come on up, Jenny. Come on. Oh, you want me to come down here and stand? I can do that. You don't have to get a microphone. We're just going to present you with your membership award. That's all.
Oh,
yeah. Remember, Tom, asking you want to remember? Well, we'll make you a member then, okay? So that's for you. Welcome. Welcome to our crowd.
Yay.
Yeah, you have all those duties and obligations.
Board meeting, we need board people.
We expect you to want to come here and enjoy yourself. That's it. And now, if you would all please say the unity statement with me. We're going to say it together. We believe
in our oneness with all life and power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God.
Now, for everyone to please stand for Song of Joy on page 338.
And I'm going to play the first page as your intro.
First page.
This will be a reading from Living in the Light.
sure folks know of this, but shock is the line. This is about intuition and highly intuitive people. Many people are already highly developed intuitively. They are very much in touch with their intuition, but are afraid to act on it in the world. Often these people will follow their intuitive promptings in one specific area of their lives, but not in others. Many artists, musicians, performers, and other highly creative people fall into this category. They strongly trust and spontaneously act on their intuition within the bounds of their art form. Thus, they are extremely creative and often very productive. But they don't have the same degree of self-trust and willingness to back their feelings with actions in other areas of their lives, particularly in their relationships and in matters of business and money. Thus, we have the classic case of the artistic type who is chaotic and unbalanced emotionally, and/or inept or even exploited financially. A classic example of this problem can be seen in the movie Lady Sing the Blues, based on the life of the great singer Billie Holiday. In one scene, she is traveling with her show on a grueling tour of the country. She is feeling exhausted and depleted and yearns to go home to see her husband and to rest. She resolves to cancel her tour and follow her heart. However, her business manager succeeds in convincing her that this move would ruin her career, that she must continue on the road. Shortly after giving in to their arguments, she begins to indulge heavily in drugs. From that point on, her life takes a downward and tragic course. Now, naturally, one such incident does not ruin an entire life, but this movie provides a graphic illustration of the way that many artists and performers give away their authority to other influences around them and suffer the resulting inner conflict, pain, and loss of power. In order to come into balance, these people must learn to trust their intuition and assert themselves in all lives. Many spiritual seekers have spent a good deal of time meditating, have becoming very sensitive and attuned to their inner energy, also have a problem of imbalance. The seeker has a strong mental image of what it is to be spiritual, loving, open, and centered. He or she wants to act out this model at all times and is thus afraid to act spontaneously or honestly express feelings for fear of what comes out may be harsh, rude, angry, selfish, or unloving. None of us are fully enlightened yet. So as we risk expressing ourselves more freely and honestly, some of what comes out will be unpolished, distorted, foolish, or thoughtless. As we learn to act on our inner feelings, all the ways that we've blocked ourselves in the past are cleared out, and in the process, a lot of the old stuff comes to the surface and is released. A lot of old beliefs and emotional patterns are brought to light and healed. In this process, we have to be willing to face and reveal our unconsciousness. By the way we see it, it's already changing anyways. If we pretend to be more together than we really are, we will miss the opportunity to heal ourselves. I have found this to be a very vulnerable and out of control feeling. I can't worry too much about how I'm presenting myself, or how I look to others, or whether I'm doing the right thing. I just have to be myself as I am now, as best I can, accepting the mixture of enlightened awareness and human limitation that is what I am right now. It isn't necessary to be perfect to be a channel for the universe. You just have to be real. Be yourself. The more real, honest, and spontaneous you are, the more freely the creative force can flow through you. As it does so, it cleans out the remnants and pieces of old blockages. What comes out may sometimes be unpleasant or uncomfortable, but this energy moving through you feels great. The more you do this, the clearer your channel gets, so that what comes through is increasingly perfect expression of the universe. Remember, too, that some of our spiritual models reflect our good ideas more than they reveal an accurate picture of enlightenment. The picture that many people have is of wanting to be mellow, positive, and loving all the time, which is really an expression of their ego's need to feel in control, good and right. The universe has many colors, moods, speeds, directions, styles, and furthermore, they're all constantly changing. Only by letting go of our ego's control and risking moving fearlessly with this flow will we ever get to experience the ecstasy of being a true champ.
Thank you, Tom. That was wonderful. Picking up something at the last minute, you did an excellent job. All right, and now it's time for our meditation song. If you all please remain seated for the meditation song on page 186.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And as you all know, we are privileged to have a different speaker each Sunday of the month. This morning, I would like to introduce our speaker, Grandfather Roy Wilson, who has a rather fishy story to tell us.
Clahalia.
Clahalia.
What a joy to be back home with you today. Well, this morning, I want to tell you an old Indian legend from the Pacific Northwest coast. It might be titled Halibut Man and the House on the Waves. And the story goes like this. Once in the first days of this world, there was a little Indian village at the mouth of a river on the Pacific Northwest coast. The people were very, very hungry because there were no salmon in the river. There were no halibut in the river. There were no fish of any kind, no ulacan, what you would call smelt. They were not there. And the people were hungry. Now they had heard stories being told that there was a big, large house out there on the ocean, and it held all the salmon, the halibut, the smelt, all the others, all the fish captive in that big ship, the big house on the waves, I should say. But nobody knew where it was. The fishermen kept wondering where it was, and they would go out as far as they could in their canoes, but they never found it. One day, Raven, she said, "I'll fly out there and see if I can find it." So Raven mounted and she flew and flew and flew and flew. Hour after hour after hour she flew. And finally she was way, way out there. And she saw something down there on the water. It down way far below her. It looked like a very large animal of some kind. So she down she went. And when she got down closer to it, she saw, oh, that's a big cedar plank house on the waves. And so she very cautiously flew up closer and closer to it, very quietly landed on the roof of the cedar plank house, looked down through the smoke hole, and she saw a man, a very thin man. He had a long nose, very strange looking man. And he was covered with silver-like scales. And, well, she saw also when she was flying down, she saw all kinds of seagulls flying all around and around, screaming and hollering all the way around that big house on the waves. Well, she very quietly slipped down inside and she saw, first of all, without him seeing her, she saw him lift a floorboard and drop a line down through the hole. And next thing you know, he pulled up a big halibut and he steamed it and he had his meal. Well, she had a plan. And so she very quietly slipped out and flew back to her village. He hadn't seen her. And when he flew back, she flew back to the village. He said, "Now to the fisherman, I want you to make a very, very large harpoon with a real sharp hook on it." And to the women, she said, "I want you to take sinew and make a very strong rope, very, 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 very long rope." Well, the men, they went to work on making the harpoon. And the women, they made this, took sinew, different animals. But when they went to pull on real hard, it kept breaking on them. And So that little bird in the wren, she said, my sinew is much tougher than all of that. And take my sinew and make your rope. And it was so thin, it was about as small as a thread, but it would never break. It made this big, long rope to tie it to the harpoon. Well, Raven flew back out there to the house on the waves, the abundant house, because it was abundant with sea life in it. And she flew down in where Halibut Man could see her, and he was shocked and surprised. He had never seen anything like Raven before. And who are you? He said, she said, I'm Raven, and I live to make good things, make things good. I made all kinds of things good. When the people needed fire, I stole fire from his grandfather's son and brought them fire. And she said, I caused the sea to recede the tide so that it would uncover the clams and the mussels, the crabs, so people could have something to eat. So she told him about all the different things that she did for the people. And he said, well, I am Halibut Man, and I have no father, and I have no mother. And I've been here, so one of the first beings was created, and I've been here all this time, and I govern the fish of the sea. And Raven said, no, you are wrong, my brother. She called him her brother. She said, our father is missing you. And you fell out of the sky into the sea, and you've been there ever since. But our father wants to see you. Our father sent me to search for you and to bring you back so you could your father could see you once again. Well, Halibut Man was a little bit suspicious about all of this. And she said, I'm real hungry before I can take you back. And he said, yeah, you must be hungry. So he dropped a line down through the hole, formed the rope of the floorboard, pulled up a halibut, steamed the halibut for her to eat. And he getting kind of suspicious, like he said, now, I can't fly. How am I going to get back there? She said, well, you can climb on my back, and I'll fly you back there. Oh, he was very suspicious about all that. This Raven woman, she looked around, and she saw this big house. It's a big, large thing. It had all kinds of open air inside that large room. And she said, well, why don't you just try it right in here? Climb on my back. So she flew real low and very slow and very gentle-like until he became more confident that he could do this okay. So then he said, okay, and she flew out through the smoke hole with him. She believed that he was hanging on well enough that he'd make it fine. And then she flew out into the sky, and higher and higher and higher and higher. And she'd gone a long ways, and she was up real high. But all of a sudden, she flipped over. And when she flipped over, Halibut Man fell off, down, down, down into the sea. And she thought, now I got rid of him, now I can get the men to come and get the big house and draw it and have all the fish at home. Well, he reached up and grabbed her. He says, do you think you can get rid of me and drop me into the sea? And that's my home. I'm very comfortable there. I'm at home there. But you tricked me. And he twisted Raven's neck, figured that he had killed her. She floated on the waters of the sea, but the tide kept washing her in to the shore. And she wasn't dead. and she just slowly revived. By the time she got back to, with the tide took her right back to her old village site. And she said to the fisherman, okay, now I want you to follow me. I'm going to fly, and you follow me in your canoes. You bring that, be ready to pull on that sinew, and I'll carry the harpoon. So she flew back. She threw the harpoon into that big boat and buried deep into the wood of the house on the waves. And then she started flying back to the village. And the men started pulling. When they saw her coming, they started pulling. The house moved very, very slowly at first. But then as it got closer, it came faster and faster as the tide waters washing in helped to bring the big house on the waves. And the fishermen, finally, when the house on the waves crashed on the shore, it set all the fish free, all the salmon, all the salmon, all the other fish, but all free. And so yet today, the fishermen, when they go out fishing, out the fish who own the sea and the water captive, they still sing that same song that they were singing when they hauled it in those story. Well, now you probably wonder, now where do I see any of this in the Bible? Well, there are a lot of different ways that I can show this, but I'm going to just choose this one way to do it today. The men, the people of the village, were hungry. But there are many different ways we could be hungry, not just for physical food. For example, you may feel that you don't have any friends and you're hungry for friends. Maybe your hunger is a spiritual hunger. I would say the very reason you are here this morning in a church is because you have a hunger for a deeper spiritual life. Many ways that you could be hungry. But you can sit on the shore and never do anything about it. Or you let the raven spirit within you go looking for what it is. Instead of waiting for your friends to come to you or waiting for spirituality, all of a sudden take a deeper walk in your life, you go searching for it. You go looking for it. You may have to fly a long way. You may have to do some deep searching for it to find it. But then in the scriptures, we not find a number of scriptures that will apply to this. One where Jesus said, you have not no fish, no spiritual, deeper spiritual, no friend, no what. You have not because you seek not. Oh, if you're hungry for a deeper spiritual life, how many different ways can you go seeking? Well, you come to the Central Unity Church, that's one way to seek. Another way of seeking may be become a reader of the scriptures. When I say scriptures, I'm not only saying the Bible. I have a feeling that many of you are walking a shallow spiritual life because you never pick up your Bible and read it. But how about the other sacred writings? Have we not said just a little while ago in one of our affirmations, we believe in the values, practice, and teachings of Jesus and others. How about reading the Bhagavad Gita and all the other spiritual scriptures? They're scriptures. They're spiritual writings. You have them because you seek not, but in seeking you shall receive. Pulling on the sinew, you're bringing that boatload of halibut and salmon and all that into you spiritually. He says, not only seeking to find, you have not because you seek not, but as your faith is, so be it unto you. And more scriptures, all kinds of scripture back up this thought, this teaching that we get from this legend. As your faith is, so be it unto you. Now, Raven could have stayed there on the shore and say, well, I believe we can find that there must be a house out there and the fish are out there. But faith is not just a head thing. I've said this many times before in these last 12 years with you. And hopefully, sooner or later, you'll grab a hold of this. Because faith is an action word. It is a verb thing. Her faith was revealed, as the scripture also says, faith without works is dead. If it's dead, it no longer exists. Faith without works. Her flying to go looking for it, seeking for it, that was her faith. As your faith is, so be it unto you. What is it you feel that you're hungry for? Maybe it's economics. Economically, you're just really struggling. Well, the ship is out there loaded with all the money of the world. Many of you said, well, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. And I ask you, well, have you ever sent it out? Have you ever sent it out? That's raven flying to find it. As your faith is, so be it unto you. In other words, if you really believe that it's there for you, you got to go seeking and you will find it is yours. My whole heart's desire for you, my very precious friends here, Unity and Centralia, is that you'll enjoy the fullness of life. That the house is on the waves for you and for me. That we can have the fullness of all of our needs, our hungers can be filled. They are yours. This legend just helps to say one more time. Look, search, see, go. Do something about it. It will be yours. Coach Kakwa. Let's go into the silence. Into the center of our being. We slowly. The presence of the Christ Spirit enveloping you. Ask the Christ Spirit to talk to you, to tell you. This declaration to the Christ Spirit, I will now begin my journey to find my cedar plank house that is on the waves of the sea of my life. Return to this chapel rejoicing, knowing that you have a bright future ahead.
Now it's time for our offering. There are two containers in our basket. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach program. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine hand,
through me, blessings been multiplied all that I give and all that I receive. Thank you.
each week. There's 6 other days in between. These, when we get done with them, we put them out. So if you ever want to take one of these home, there's lots of wonderful things in these daily workbooks. All right, now let's all of us say the blessing of thanks together found in your program. We bless these gifts
and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper.
They are evidence of our faith and belief.
They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly.
So it is. Now it's time for a healing prayer. If you'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen.
Amen.
Now it's time for our prayer of protection. Let's all say the prayer of protection together. Find it on the back of your program, or more conveniently, right on the wall. Are we ready? The light of
God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
Yeah, if we could all form a circle and join hands and sing our song of peace. I want to thank everybody who made our Sunday service possible. Thank you, Grace, our youth, the music, and the singing. Thank you, Grandfather. Thank you, Tom, for stepping up and being willing to read in short books. Thank you, everyone else, for showing up.
Done.